Support for WMNF comes from our members and Creative Loafing, in print and on the street every Thursday and online all the time at cltampa.com. In addition to news and politics, music, food and drink, arts and entertainment, and their green community, CL has recently launched two new sites, sports and LGBT. cltampa.com. I'm Duncan Strauss, really delighted to bring you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll be discussing cats and other topics, perhaps including more cats, with comedian Paula Poundstone. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Bella Fleck with Snakes Alive here on Talking Animals. This is Bella Fleck with Snakes Alive, jaunty animal tune of sorts. Ease us in today's edition of Talking Animals. My name is Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Paula Poundstone, the singular comedian who, for much of her 30-plus year career, has laced her routines with cat stories, often based on observations and misadventures with the sizable flock of felines sharing her home. Her career is brimming with stand-up specials, TV appearances. She's recorded a CD, written a book, and is a regular panelist on NPR's weekly news quiz. Wait, wait, don't tell me. We'll discuss many of those things. Certainly the cats, when we speak with Paula Poundstone in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Also, a bit later in the show, we'll step into the comedy corner. We'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive a $15 gift card from Loving Hut, the local vegan restaurant that was one of the food vendors at the Talking Animals Festival. And we'll speak with Linda Hamilton, Executive Director of the Animal Coalition of Tampa, ACT, about a Hillsborough County spay-neuter program for low-income folks that was abruptly suspended last week. The implications of that and what we can all do in an effort to have that program reinstated. Right now, though, it's time for animal news and announcements. We'll look at items of interest in animal news as well as announcements of forthcoming local events. So let's turn now to those things. It's time to talk turkey, as it were. Produced, as always, by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Reed News Department. Our first item deals with Forks Over Knives. We had executive director and sort of creator of the film, Brian Wendell, on Talking Animals last week. This is the documentary that we discussed, and at that point it had not opened in Tampa, but an engagement was on the horizon, and now comes news that indeed, beginning opening June 10th in Tampa at Veterans 24, the AMC there on Anderson Road in Tampa, there will indeed be Forks Over Knives for folks to check out. So, obviously a recommended film. Also, speaking of past guests, comedian Martin Maron joined us in February on Talking Animals when we spoke about cats and his terrific podcast, WTF. Certain episodes which have now been picked up as a 10-part series on key NPR stations, including WBEZ and KCRW. Rightly so. Those shows are really wonderful, and Marin is a just gifted interview, I think. So big congrats to him. You can find out more and check out the podcast, etc. In the meantime, at WTFpod www.thepalmbeachpod.com. Saw this over in my neck of the woods, the Palm Beach Post. Headline, Whose Dog is Smarter, Tiff, Leads to Arrest. An argument between two elderly Palm Beach Gardens men over whose dog is smarter ended when one allegedly brandished a gun he kept in the front basket of his scooter. Alfred Orzanchonsky, 79, who was charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, did not appear before a judge for arraignment Thursday morning. He was taken to Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center after telling his arresting officer that he could not breathe. Apparently there was a history of some arguing between these two folks, and a neighbor of these guys, his name is Bean Withheld, said he and the guy and Orzanchowski have been involved in mild arguments in the past. He said earlier that day he and Orzanchowski had gotten into an argument where Orzanchowski said that his dog was smarter than the 63-year-old's dog. When the man responded with an insult, Orzanchonsky pulled his gun out of the basket in a scooter and pointed it at the 63-year-old man. The man told police he backed away, fearing Orzanchonsky would shoot him. So, perhaps lends a new meaning to the phrase, them's fighting words. Watch what you say about my dog. And you probably remember a few weeks back we had 12-year-old Maggie Fitzsimmons on the show. Terrific guest, and it was her idea to come up with this cool Kids for Paws contest. We talked to her about that, and so that was taking place all throughout the month of May, and now it's culminating in a big awards event this Saturday, June 4th, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's at Seaplane Basement Park, Davis Island. So all the kids from age 6 to 13 who participated in this program will be there, and hopefully their families and others, too. You're invited as well. And there's pet and kid-friendly vendors, a bounce house, eats, music by Gracie Grishup of Sunset Bridge. Big fans of hers here. Face painting, games, prizes, and more. So that's, again, this Saturday, June 4th, Seaplane Basement Park. To acknowledge all those kids who did all that good work on behalf of animals. Now, you might have had heard about this Save Vanishing Species stamp, which will go on sale in September. And the stamp is being advertised as a way to support endangered species, as the 11 extra cents from each stamp is being donated to the Multinational Species Conservation Fund, which is described on a press release as an alliance of conservationists, zoos, veterinarians, animal welfare groups, circuses, and sportsmen. Yes, you heard correctly, sportsmen. Circuses. So, yeah, it turns out that the so-called animal advocates that will be benefiting from the sale of the stamp includes the Safari Club International, an organization that supports hunters, and the Feld Organization, which owns Ringling Brothers. So these sort of perhaps anti-animal welfare groups were included with true animal conservation groups like the Jane Goodall Institute, Born Free USA, and the World Wildlife Fund, and will ultimately benefit from the sale of these stamps as well. So, thanks to Ponder for considering buying those stamps. And coming up a little bit later this month, we're now in June today. Yikes! There is a pit bull adoption fundraiser and silent auction at Mike's Smokehouse Barbecue and Grill on Saturday, June 18th from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. There'll be fun and games for both two and four legs types, and eats and drinks, CDC testing, training tips, music, silent auction, rolling raffle, etc. Proceeds to benefit Pitbull Happenings, Pitbulls to the Rescue, and Busters and Foster's Haven. So Mike's Smokehouse Barbecue and Grill is located at 7117 North Highway, Tampa, Florida. So probably find out more at one of those groups, websites, Pitbull Happenings, etc. And I think that's probably going to do it for now. So let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is, in fact, our guest, Paul Poundstone, with a piece called Cats Puff Up on today's Comedy Corner. A talking animal.
You know what I can't figure out? All my cats are in... They don't really cats. And I don't know they puff up when they fight with each other? You know, I know, you know, they say, oh, cats puff up so they look bigger to their adversaries. But first of all, my cats all know each other. You know what I mean? They don't really believe for a moment that one of them got really big. I mean, cats know about puffing up. That, did they think it was a trick only they knew? And the other cat actually just got bigger in that moment? That doesn't make any sense. And it seems to me it must take a lot of energy to puff up. I would think that they would just have a meeting, and one day my head fat lazy cat would just turn to the others and say, look, from now on, let's nobody puff up. We already know about puffing up. We're not fooling anybody. If you puff up and I puff up, we're the same anyways. Tell you what, once a day I'm going to grab each of you with my front paws and kick at you with my back paws, and you just take it. I tell you what, cats are no help whatsoever in terms of security, you know. You know, cats get the exact same look on their face for a big giant moth as they do for an axe murderer. And you go, great, I'm either going to get a hole in my head or my sweater.
All right, that was Paula Poundstone with a piece called Cats Puff Up, taken from her album I Heart Jokes, an unprecedented instance, I believe, in the show's history of the comedy piece coming from the guest. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, and it is nearly time to speak with today's guest, Paula Poundstone, one of those folks for whom you could really use the phrase needs no introduction. That's from stand-up specials galore, countless TV appearances, a regular panelist on NPR's weekly quiz show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and she kind of has a thing or two for cats. So, with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Paula Poundstone to Talking Animals. Paula Poundstone!
Hey!
How are you?
I hate cats.
Oh, wow. Well, that's going to alter the tenor of the interview considerably all of a sudden. But
oh, my God, they're a pain in the neck.
Wow. All right. Well, this is definitely a surprise. But, so I feel like we have all kinds of catching up to do, not all of which I think would be scintillating for our listeners. So yeah, all things considered, let's talk about cats, whether you have a newly developed hatred for them or let's assume previously, at least, that you had a love for them. And does that date all the way back to childhood, or did this start later in life, or when did
I think it's, you know, somewhere, I think it was, I don't know, it was number 16. We have 16 cats now.
Wow. Okay, well, I was going to get into a tally, and I still have...
Yeah, it's really bad. Sometimes people come up to me, and they go, because I talk about it on stage, and they'll come up to me and go, oh, I have three, and that's right. And I go, stop! There.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of cats. I'm like an indentured servant. I mean, that's what I do. All day long. I clean animal waste is my main job. I can discuss in great detail the skill and nuance that takes. It is like having a movie in the house all the time. I will say that. It's entertaining, but it's a tremendous amount of work. And well, there are days where I get up and I say to myself, do I really want to do this again?
Well, okay, so let's look at that. Because at what point did it move then from a cat or two or three or four, like the people that come up to you after shows, to, you know, I was even behind on the tally. So 16 at the moment. How does that happen?
Well, I'll tell you, and I know exactly, because trust me, people ask that a lot.
I'm sure.
We're at 15, and we got one more. That's how we got to 16.
Okay.
It's a math
problem.
No, my daughter volunteered at the shelter, and that certainly ups one's census. I can't, however, blame her. It's me. When kitten season comes around, I get in a fever.
Yeah, like, hey, we really could use a few more cats around here, because look at how cute those kittens are, and they need a home.
Yeah, I think, however, that I have truly reached my breaking point. We do have a 24-hour webcam on our cat's food and water bowls. And I wish there's nowhere to locate it in our house without really impeding our quality of life. That where one can really see from the camera the full majesty and glory of, you know, sometimes 16 cats coming to the bowl to eat. Usually what happens when I feed them, usually somebody's butt is right in the camera, or you just get like a full shot of a really close up on someone's fur. And therefore, it looks like a lovely blanket, but not, you don't get that. You can't through the camera get the grandeur of 16 cats eating. What you can get, because the guy who set it up for me is a genius, it was his idea to, he lit the food and water bowls are up slightly elevated on a stand, and they are lit from the bottom, and we have a see-through water dish.
Wow.
It is kind of a lovely touch, I must say.
Now, yeah, I have seen that, because I think that's been not only on the camera, but I think there's been some YouTube videos that have documented some of this.
Yeah, well, it's a thing of beauty. For a while, my life got too overwhelming, and so I haven't been doing it the way I used to. But in the wintertime, I was doing what I called the Big Book of Bad Ideas show, which was the only way for me to speak into the camera, because it's obviously low to the ground. I would have to lie down on the floor and slide my head. It's also under a desk. And slide my head sideways, therefore, over the cat's food and water bowls, and I would do a little show from there. I figured, however, and I occasionally resume the Big Book of Bad Ideas show when I have the energy to do it. I figured, however, it will never be a show that I will get a guest to come on. Because the odds of Betty White, for example, true British she is in show business, to lay down on the floor and slide her head sideways over my cat's food and water bowls.
Yeah.
Very, very slim.
That's probably...
That's a comedian. I mean, a political guest is out of the question.
Yeah, well, and she's animal-loving, but even that, I think, is crossed off in her rider that she will not get down on the floor by the cat and food and water bowl.
Although, I must say, I was on a school field trip the other day, a high school long bus ride thingy where they allowed them to watch videos, and they had brought, somebody had brought the proposal.
Wow.
I really think that as a career move, Betty White would have been, she was in that.
Yeah, yeah.
She really would have been better off being on the Big Book of Bad Ideas show.
Okay, well, yeah. I think that's how you can approach her and sell her on getting down on the floor. Now, so the thing is, because I guess this kind of all confirms this, when I've seen these things online, again, people can, you know, search YouTube and find the pieces and also the ongoing camera thing. But so there is actually only one food and water bowl. Okay, because I thought, even before I knew there were 16, I thought, well, surely with this many cats, there's at least a satellite location somewhere.
No, there's I'm sure that there is, and we're always trying to figure out what exactly the hierarchy is in our house, and we don't really know for sure. Lately, that was a lot of fighting, and so I'm fairly certain it's election season.
Okay.
And I believe, by the way, that my cat Brittle and my cat Tonks, are the nominees.
Yeah, they're on the top of the ticket.
Yeah, I can kind of tell because I think Brittle was for a long time the ruler, and now she's eaten parts of her fur, and I'm fairly certain that's from the stress of campaigning.
Really? Wow.
I think so. Yeah, yeah. I think so because she's acting a little weird these days. But anyways, I think that there is. In terms of the food and water bowl, I mean, I'm not a vet and I don't study animals. I totally don't believe the thing about that they puff up to look bigger to their adversaries.
Yeah.
That I believe that's been disproved in our home. My cats are indoor cats.
Right. Well, I think if not before, it was disproved in your bed.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason in the world why cats that know one another would bother puffing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it doesn't make any sense.
So then we can't, do we know why they do it then?
No.
Okay.
Probably just to fool themselves. Maybe to make like a kind of a Michelin man, you know, airbag kind of
okay.
catch for when they get their butts kicked.
Sure.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
There's no way that they look at one another and go, "My God, you got big."
Right. And you can barely recognize me from 2 minutes ago. Yeah. Well, so, okay, first of all, this is Talking Animals. If you just tune in, we're speaking with the comedian and cat enthusiast, I think I'd like to say, Paula Poundstone. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Paula a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663, or you can email us at dj@wmnf.org. Well, so, you've already mentioned a couple. I mean, are there particular of the 16, are there particular cats that stand out for, again, either their political aspirations, as you've already noted, or other things? I mean, I just got to think with that many, some may sort of just blend in a little bit, or are they all?
Oh, they do. Yeah, it's true that there's, my cat Wednesday, for example, who, when she was at the shelter, and I guess this would be, any cat with their salt is going to have the good sense to be animated at the shelter. She's a sibling, a birth relation of my cat Theo. And, pretty much when Wednesday got to our house, she subverted any personality that she may ever have had. She never lets anybody touch her. She's just grumpy.
Oh, yeah.
Every now and then I catch her and stick her in the bathroom for a while with like a litter box and food and water in there. So that you can like pet her and,
okay,
maybe so she can get the idea that we're not really such a bad lot. She'll be totally animated when she's separate from the rest of the crowd.
Wow.
This is like the whole thing of whether, you do special ed in a separate classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Or you mainstream?
Well, sounds like in her case, she's lobbying for special ed.
I don't know if she likes it, but she, I don't know if you can say that she likes it, but she reacts totally differently when she is, separate and on her own. And the truth is, I'm a busy person.
Yeah.
I actually go to the bathroom where I would see the cat privately, just, through doing my daily tasks, more frequently than I would necessarily sit and pet a cat out in the rest of the house. Because, I try to multitask everywhere.
Sure. Well, so that fits her needs and your scheduling needs, it seems like, in a nice intersection.
Yeah. The only problem is that then you're stuck sweeping up kitty litter in yet one more room, and I'm not a fan of that. Even though I must say I have it down to as much of a science as anybody possibly could. My son and I had a robust debate last night over. He was wondering why I don't, because if it's not electronic, then he simply doesn't believe in it.
Sure.
He doesn't know why I don't get an electric, blah 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 kitty litter thing. And mm-hmm. I said, honey, we had one of those before you were even born.
We've been there.
Let me tell you, there was a constant motor noise in the house, and it broke down.
And it probably bothered at least some of the cats, right? The noise and just the way that thing kind of like would rake the litter and stuff.
I don't think that there's a time in our house where the litter boxes are empty.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Of cats, I mean, of population.
Right.
You can't have a mechanical thing going.
Right. Yeah, no room at the inn. But, I had several litter box questions just on the sheer number alone. But, we got all kinds of folks, of course, who are calling in, and they seem rather insistent. So let's at least take one here and see how that goes. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Paula Poundstone.
Hello.
Hi, it's you.
Just wanted to tell Paula that the reason cats puff up is because that's their nature. They don't think about it. It's just a reaction. It's their genealogy.
Oh, you can't help it.
Right.
Okay. But it also doesn't necessarily. Yeah. So what you're saying is that they can't help it. It's an impulse or an instinct to do it, but it doesn't necessarily mean what we've been told all these years that it's supposed to mean when they puff up.
It probably is. I mean, you think if you were interacting with somebody that you do on a daily basis and you got into a argument, you'd do the same thing. As well as you could, but a cat's more built that way for survival over the young.
I've been puffing up gradually, but it doesn't kill anyone.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. When I get in a fight with somebody in my house, I run in the other room and shove a lot of food in my mouth.
Yeah,
then
well.
Then I come back. I say, wait a few days.
Yeah, well, when you said that, I was thinking of my own thing where I've been puffing up over many years, but not for any discernible, conflict resolution. But
I don't puff up instantly.
Yeah.
No, he's probably right. I'm sure that it's a long-standing thing that they can't help. They don't seem to have the good sense to be embarrassed about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think any physical reaction that you can't help is a little embarrassing.
Sure. Like, why am I doing this? Why am I puffing up?
Yeah.
I know Tongs from 2 minutes ago. Why am I puffing up?
Well, precisely. I've always said to people, it's like getting in a fight with, a roommate and running in the other room and putting on a mask.
They'll never recognize
me. Fool anyone.
That's right.
Let you take that off. Stop
it. All right. Well, let's take another call, and then I have a question or two about at least some of that, one or more of those 16. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Paula Poundstone.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, my name's Jack Dixon.
Okay, Jack.
I'm in Tampa, Florida. I understand Miss Poundstone's playing at Ybor City.
Well, then you know something I don't, and maybe something that Paula doesn't, because
I
have played at Ybor City before.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I may be playing there eventually. I can't.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything on the horizon at the moment. But believe me, when there is, and I believe there will be within the next several months from what I gather, then we will alert you with our most puffed up announcement possible.
All right. Paula, do you mind if I call you Paula?
I don't mind at all.
All right, Paula. Do you remember the Comedy Corner down on Kennedy Boulevard here in Tampa?
Do I ever. That was a good time.
Remember seeing you down there. I used to sell liquor to them back in the day.
Oh, man.
Been
I
some years ago. Do you remember Richard Jenny?
I sure do.
Huh?
I sure do.
What happened to Richard?
I think Richard is no longer with us. I think Richard died.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
He committed suicide.
That's right.
I believe that's so. I never knew him personally.
Him.
We did a job, and in fact, we met. I think we may have met on that job. We did a job at the Gator Growl.
Oh, it was
Gator
Richard
Growl,
Jenny
and
Gainesville, Florida, for sure.
Yeah, 100 years ago, and I think we met that night, and we hung out in our hotel room afterwards because it was. You needed kind of detox from that night. It was extraordinary.
Yeah, I've been there myself.
Oh my God, it was kind of ridiculous.
Do you remember Akiko? She was with Richard.
No, I don't remember.
All right, well you know what?
That was really my only experience of him. You know,
how about Jimmy Walker?
Everybody I know speaks well of him.
Jimmy Walker.
All right, well. Yeah. Okay, you know what? I'm so sorry, but there's all kinds of folks who want to talk to Paul, including me, but thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
So, Paul, let me back to the 16, which I, hard to sort of stray too far.
I should have told you ahead of time.
Yeah, no. I'm breathing okay. It's not having that harsh of an effect. It's just a few more than I even imagined from the last count that I thought I knew. So that's good. But in fact, all the more
that you'll ever get.
Well, no, this is good. So in a way, this is kind of maybe even more interesting question then, because it's kind of a delicate issue, in fact. But is there a cat or two amongst that squad of 16? That you may not be overly fond of, that's either kind of a jerk or just sort of the odd cat out. I mean, not counting the one you say that really only is most relaxed and set aside in the bathroom. But
well, actually, walking right in front of me right now is my cat Oreo, who is she's not my daughter pets her and she's nice to my daughter, but she'll have absolutely nothing to do with me. All she ever does with me is if I come kind of near. She hisses at me.
Mm.
And, she's a black and white cat. And I have a theory about black and white cats because my cat Deacon, named, of course, after Richard Deacon, as is my cat Rutherford.
Okay.
Deacon's dead now, but she was this giant brute of a cat who couldn't have been any sweeter to me and, like, was it like a head butter, was really into attention and stuff. But she was a feisty cat. I mean, if the wrong person, even when the kids were little, we got her when my girls were little, and I have great photographs of the kids holding her, like where they were not quite holding her properly, so they had like her shoulders sort of in their hands,
right,
and the rest of her stretched down their body. That cat never scratched, never growled, tolerated,
wow,
you know, all sorts of child abuse, I think, from them. And then when she got older, it's like she was just getting me back. Because I would walk through the room and she'd slap me.
Oh, wow. Just one of those kind of unprovoked things that happens.
Right. Yeah. But never, like, if I picked her up, she didn't do that. Or if I petted her, she didn't do that. She just had this way of sort of, you know, coming upon you and, and sort of in an unexpected fashion. Like, she was just like, yeah, and that's for...
Wow.
That's for 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Don't you forget it.
You might not remember the incident, but I do. Yeah.
But around a lot of other people, I mean, she was just plain feisty. And I have another friend who has a cat named Horatio who's black and white and also very, very, like, just feisty.
Mm-hmm.
They never quite know who he'll be nice to. In my opinion, that's a black and white cat thing.
And do you have, it seems like with what I've seen in some of the videos and the streaming thing, am I right in thinking you have kind of maybe a disproportionate number of sort of gray or cats that include? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's just by
mauve, I believe. They're
Yes.
They're sort of hard to identify between one. I mean, we of course know, but the average viewer wouldn't necessarily know.
Right.
You know what one Deacon was? Oh, was that Deacon or was that Oreo? Maybe that was Oreo. I have a film. That's called My Cats Don't Do Anything.
Right, right.
It is because so many, I don't watch, you know, people send me links to cat videos all the time, and
sure.
I don't generally watch them because I don't have time.
You're busy.
But,
yeah.
People tell me about them incessantly. There's one where a cat goes inside a bottle. There's one where a cat, you know, does brain surgery. There's one, you know, that's got all these things where they do stupid things, where they do, you know, highly intelligent things, where a cat reads a map. There's one where the cats draw the lines, the Marx Brothers film. My cats, I mean, I have 16 cats, and it's a large part of my life. They don't do anything. They don't have any tricks or anything. They don't do anything. So I made a film about it.
Yeah.
And Oreo is the one, I'm just saying something about that many people think that maybe my cats have some sort of psychosis or something, and that's my cat Oreo right there. We also have another cat, Clue. This one is sort of a strange dynamic. Clue is not allowed out of, we have sort of two main rooms of our house. There's the living room and what we call the ballroom. Clue is not allowed out of the ballroom or in the main part of the house during the day by the other cats.
Oh.
At nighttime, she comes out. During the day, you never see her. And when she occasionally tries to come out, she's trounced by somebody.
Wow.
Yeah,
and
we have no idea why.
Yeah. It's just
she mostly hides. A lot of the time, she hides in the Tupperware cabinet during the day, and that's partly because, the Tupperware parties.
Yeah. Good refuge in a lot of ways there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, anytime you go to... She really longs for me to prepare too much food for a meal because that means that I have to reach down and find a Tupperware container.
Sure.
That's really when her life...
Brightens up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one of these folks has actually been holding a really long time, so let's bring them on here. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Paula Poundstone?
I'm on?
Yeah, thanks for holding so long. Sorry.
Oh, okay, well, I watched a documentary where when the activists go out to where feral colonies live and they trap them, they take them to be spayed and neutered, and they have the tip of the ear squared off so that whenever there's a sweep, they know not to bother with them because they're not breeders.
That's right.
So I've been having my cats done like that whenever they get spayed or neutered, even though they're not from a feral colony. I think I recommend that to other people, too, which is part of the other point is the litter box problem. you fix that with a cat door, because there's no such thing as an indoor cat. That's like clipping a bird's wing. The cat needs to be able to go indoors and outdoors that well.
So there's
that point, and get people to clip the tips of their cat's ears off so they don't get caught up in a sweep.
Huh.
Wow. Right. All right, well.
That's a clever idea.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for your call.
All right.
Some strong opinions and ideas there. I'm not sure how many of them I embrace, but it's good for discussion.
Well, actually, here anyways in California, you know, you every time you go to do like a, you know, adopt a cat or whatever, they, you know, they always make you sign something saying that, you know, it's going to be an indoor cat. I mean, all of my cats happen to be indoor cats. I really just plain don't want the fleas. It's not necessarily, you know, a love of nature that's making me do that.
Sure.
You know, my kids are indoor outdoor.
Right. Yeah, that's good. That works out good.
They go in and out through the door. We had a cat door when I was growing up in Massachusetts. We had three cats, and we had a cat door. And, you know, the problem with a cat door is that everyone's cat came in.
Oh, well, of course, yeah.
Yeah, we had, like, stranger cats in our house. And rodents and stuff that my cats would bring in. I mean, at least if you open the door and let them in, you can see what's in their mouth. I can't tell you how many mornings I was woken up by some sort of cat rodent chase. I remember one morning, I will never forget as long as I live, coming to the realization that I was afraid of bunnies. My cat had brought a bunny in the house through the cat door, and I remember waking my father up early one morning, and I said, Dad, you know, Rebel brought a bunny in. And my father rolled over and said, well, go get it. And then a few minutes later, I was standing beside his bed again, and I said, Dad, I'm afraid of bunnies.
I just remembered.
I didn't know before that.
Yeah.
I had no bunny experience.
Yeah.
We've had bunnies since, by the way, in our house here.
Yeah.
But I don't like the way they hop.
Well, that's probably going to deter you from becoming a real, you know, bunny fan. Yeah.
Exactly. Because they're going to hop no matter what you do.
Right. Regardless of how Paula feels about it. Yeah.
Precisely. Yeah. There's no way.
Yeah.
You just can't take the hop out of a bunny no matter how much you verbally
right.
discourage it.
Sure. Long sessions in the living room, still not going to do it.
Yeah,
this is Talking perfect. Animals. My guest is Paula Poundstone, who you might know from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, or a zillion great stand-up appearances on TV and on stage. We invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. So Paula, I know you've probably gotten this totally down many, many moons ago, but how are the cats or other parts of the household affected when you travel? Because obviously then you're not there to do all your litter box magic and sort of, personality monitoring, et cetera. So, or is this all such a well-oiled machine now that no one's really fazed when you head out the door for a trip?
No, they, certainly the cats don't care. I will say that my litter box care, the litter box care in my absence is substandard, but it's the best that I can get. My nanny has you know, is stuck with that job when I'm gone.
Mm.
And, you know, I feel that losers can't be choosers.
Yeah.
I'm lucky that I have a really terrific nanny to take care of my children when I'm gone.
Sure.
I don't feel that I can really come down on her for not lovingly wiping the sides of the plastic bag that lines the litter box. I have to kind of let that one slide. And when I get home, you know, I spent a good solid period of time getting things back to what I find
your standards,
you know, the highest quality
right.
litter box management. Then if we go away for days, you know, I'm generally gone only a couple of nights. But if the whole family goes away for days, I got to tell you, it is a big problem. It's really hard because we have so damn many that you have to sift.
Yeah.
Really, four times a day at least.
And how many boxes are we talking about?
I have four.
Four boxes?
Yeah.
For 16 cats.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And you really got it. It's like, you know, it's like when you go to a public restroom and you go, you know, you open a stall and it's not clean. Naturally, you go to the next
one.
The next.
Sure.
Now, I don't I never go down a row of stalls and say, hey, they're all dirty. I'm going to pee over here in the corner. I've never done that.
Yeah.
But my cats will.
Sure.
So, you know, so proper litter box care is
important.
Very important.
Very important.
I pride myself in no one knowing other than me telling them I have 16 cats. I mean, we have parties about five times a year, ping pong parties in my backyard. And when people are in the house, they're always like, you don't have 16 cats. I'm like, well, because they hide
sure. When
there's a party.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, I'm really pleased that no one knows just by entering the house.
That's great.
I'm telling you, I could have a full-time job just doing
boxes.
Maintenance.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. It's really not what I was planning for my life. I swear it.
No. But once you got into the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, and then especially 16th cat, seems like. Yeah.
Once you're in your double digits,
yeah,
you're really
that's
a problem area. But they're, you know, I will say that they're well cared for.
Sure. Well, Paul, we're sort of just nearing the end of our time, but speaking of travel, I believe you travel tomorrow for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
That's right.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I mean, how did you know that come about, your participation in it? And I mean, it just seems like it's just really fun for you, and certainly fun for people who listen when you're on.
It is so much fun to do.
Yeah.
And it came about in the really, truly the most boring of ways. They called me up and asked me. I had never heard of the show at the time. I had a nanny back then who was a fan of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and he said, "Oh, you have to do this show."
Wow.
And, it was just that hard to get me to do.
Okay, cool. Nanny as career advisor, too. I like that also.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to tell you, he really called that one right, because it is so much fun. And I often feel the guys that I work with, they are intelligent to the point of cheating.
Yeah.
You know, they really have it all over me. I feel that they were born into the world knowing more about current events than I. it's not exactly a level playing field, but it's fun to do nonetheless.
Yeah.
I'm happy to rub shoulders with them.
Sure. No, smart folks all the way around and a lot of fun. And I guess at some point, if you haven't already, maybe you'll get Carl Castle to put a recording on your answering machine or voicemail.
I don't think I could ever do well enough. I have to tell you something, Duncan. In the front room of my house, we have a rug that we call the map rug, because it has a map of the United States on it.
Nice.
And there's one color that happens on the map. It's a colorful map. You know, Minnesota's a dark green, Wisconsin's light green, Indiana's red. You get the idea.
Sure.
There's one sort of disgusting beigey color, sort of a tinge of orange and beige, and it happens to just be, well, the color of cat vomit. And I can't tell you how many mornings I've come in and thought for a second that a cat had thrown up in the corner of the rug before I realized that's Hawaii.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I happen to be standing on the rug right now, you know, looking forward to work. And it reminded me of that illusion every morning and how happy I am when I realize it's Hawaii. Now, I've told people in Hawaii this, and they don't seem flattered at all.
No, I'm kind of surprised that Hawaii is represented in that color scheme to begin with. But
I don't know who exactly chose the colors for the map rug, but it's a lovely rug to have.
Sure.
It's very educational for the children. Occasionally, you know, the cats will sort of, you know, focus their bad attentions on a variety, you know, on different states.
States,
and I'll say to them, you know, geez, it's not like the people in that state have not had enough trouble.
Right. Yeah, maybe you should do something to Hawaii right now, because they've sort of gotten off scot-free lately. But
honestly, haven't they?
Yeah.
Nothing's come their way. Yeah. Well, trust me, I'm steering them clear of the center of the country right
cool.
now.
Cool. Well, Paul, gosh, we have just about reached the end of our time, but thank you so much for making the time to join us on Talking Animals. And again, paulpoundstone.com for all kinds of cool info and links to stuff and Twitter feeds and dates. So far, again, at the moment, not in the Tampa area, but I know in the next few months there will be, and so
it'll happen.
We will blare that as loudly as we can. And thanks again for chatting with us today.
All right, Duncan, thanks so much.
All right.
Take care.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There will be a prize, a $15 gift card from Loving Hut, a local vegan restaurant, to the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. In a moment, we'll speak with Linda Hamilton of the Animal Coalition of Tampa. Right now, it's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals.
They took my blue suede shoes down to Oldsmobile. Got to rockin' with the rhythm, run them over the hill. Put your cap and clothes on, cause the night we're gonna really rock it right. Yeah, kitty, put your cap and clothes on, cause the night we're gonna bop on the ride. Well, I slick up my belt till I look like a dilly. I run downtown and get my female.
All right, maybe we'll take that one off the air. Get some folks calling in, but do you want to right now introduce or reintroduce? She's been on the show a few times over the years. This is Linda Hamilton.
Hi, Duncan.
Hey, Linda. She's the executive director of the Animal Coalition of Tampa, ACT, but not really here today really to talk so much about ACT. In fact, maybe you could sort of just describe the program that you are here to talk about sort of before last week's news and what results that program had brought, and then we'll get into sort of what did happen last
week. All righty. Okay, usually when you ask me how I'm doing, I answer you with I'm fine, but today I guess I'd have to tell you I'm really worried. I'm worried that all the good that this voucher program for low-income spaying and neutering that it has been provided to the 15% of our population that are publicly assisted has been pulled, that void is going to cause all of the strides that we've made in saving animals and keeping them from death at the shelter is going to turn around without that.
So maybe you could just sort of give us a few specifics on what those strides were, what those look like in sheer numbers
sure.
for animals.
Yeah. Well, you know, they say that 90% of problems are caused by 10% of the people, and that's the way it has been. We were killing about 29,000 dogs and cats a year in our own county back in 2006 before the voucher program came along, which was a publicly assisted program to spay or neuter. Overpopulation is what caused them to be in the shelter. And that was coming directly from the people that didn't have enough money to spay and neuter their pets.
Right. So this program made it affordable for them to do so.
Yes, they made it affordable. They had a copay. We dropped our prices, and all of those vets that were included that wanted to participate dropped their prices as kind of a pro bono. So we were barely covering costs, but it didn't matter because the problem's bigger than any one single one of us. It's just not okay to kill these animals because
sure.
there are too many of them.
Of course.
And we went down. We went down. This year we were killing 50% as many. Only half of what we were doing 5 years ago.
So the results were truly dramatic and measurable.
Immeasurable.
Yeah.
I have numbers that there were other things that were happening. The community was all coming together. Animal services started costing or charging for animals to be dropped off. There were a lot of things that they claimed that added to the positive picture, but at the core of it, there were just not as many coming in.
Sure.
And the reason there weren't is because we just spayed and neutered like crazy.
Yeah. So tell us then what happened last week and sort of the nature of it, why we're talking
really
now.
It was a surprise because we had predicted that the funds were going to run out. The funds were based on a portion of the intact or the unsterilized animals. So that were licensed,
mm-hmm.
and so our success became our demise. We ran out of money, so we started saying, let's find another way to fund this thing. We've got to keep it. It only makes sense. it was okay to reduce budgets because we had reduced all of the killing by 50%. We still,
sure.
Don't get me wrong, there's 16,000 of them last year that died.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's too many.
Right, of course.
That's more than average for our size, but still, we pulled this thing. The really impossible, the really confusing, short-sighted part of it is that it costs the county less to pay for a voucher.
Right.
Than it does to impound and kill the animal.
Right. So their costs have gone down and their expenses otherwise, and I would think their sort of personnel costs, all those things have been diminished in the wake of this program.
Yeah. Yeah. But the county commissioners are in, they let's cut everything. And we need people to help tell them this is not the one to cut.
Right. So it sounds like one of those, things that happens in those kind of bureaucratic circles sometimes where they did maybe throw the baby out with the
mm-hmm.
with the bathwater. So what can we do to try to, like, alert them and hopefully persuade them to reinstate?
It's not okay for us to kill animals because there are too many of them. We need to tell them that we know that we that can afford it, we do it. But that's 85% of us. There are 15% that are struggling to put food on the table. And if their cat gets pregnant or their puppy gets pregnant, that's not a survival thing. So we need to call the commissioners and say, fund this program now and don't let it drop for future. It's a two-part. They cut us off in the middle of the year.
Wow.
No notice, nothing.
Yeah.
We got to get the money back now and then we have to tell them, okay, just give us $2, give us $3 per license.
Yeah.
Let us keep saving money and lives.
So is there an overall one number or
on our website, actampa.org, right on the home page, I put a link that goes, it's in green and it's really easy to see.
Yeah.
And it goes right into the county commissioners that has one telephone number.
Right, which is, I believe, 813-272-5660. Is
yeah,
that correct?
That's the one.
Okay, so anybody listening now, you can go to actampa.org and find out more and get a little more context if you'd like.
Just call that number
yeah.
and just say, I'm calling about the spay-neuter voucher. Keep it. That's
yeah.
You don't have to say more than five words. We've got thousands of people that have written letters. We have nothing back from them except.
Right. It sounds like the letters and the emails, because also if people go to the link on the actampa.org site, they'll see kind of a forum email, which is certainly fine. But I think you've gotten some early feedback that's not as effective. Perhaps it's just calling and calling
right.
and calling. So that's what we want to urge people listening today to do. 813-272-5660 and just say reinstate the voucher program for spay-neuter. Put it back online and keep it funded.
Save the money.
Yeah.
Save the money and save the lives.
Yeah. Okay, Linda, well, we will keep our fingers crossed that people listening will take that to heart. And, again, it's actampa.org, and there's more information there. Just click on that link at the top of the page. And, again, the phone number is to call directly to the commissioners and express your desires in this matter is 813-272-5660. Linda, thank you so much. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Thanks for helping us get the word out.
Absolutely.
Thanks to everybody who'll make the phone call.
Just call now or call a few minutes after the show, whenever. Just call.
Yeah.
Be sure to call today. That's the key
thing.
Thank
you so much.
All right. Thanks, Linda.
Okay, bye.
All right. We have reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. We'll be back next Wednesday, June 8th, when our guest will be Andrew Westall, author of The Chimps of Fauna Sanctuary, a true story of resilience and recovery, a gorgeously written account of Westall's stint living as a volunteer at Fauna Foundation, a sanctuary just outside Montreal where chimps retired from biomedical research. That's next Wednesday, June 8th, on Talking Animals at 11 a.m., June being the month. The Talking Animals is celebrating its 8th anniversary. Anyway, I hope you'll join me next Wednesday. Also, hope you'll visit our website, talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals shows. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby McKenna. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Stay tuned for the fabulous Scott Elliott with the All Souls version of It's the Music airing next from noon to 3. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. This one from Magadog, who are insanely good at the Talking Animals Festival several weeks ago. They also have a fantastic new album, Ybor City, and there's a CD release party this Friday, June 3rd, at Skipper's. Also featuring King Django, the Duppies, and Johnny Cakes, and the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. It'll be rip-roaring fun. All that fun and music can be had for just $12 in advance, $15 at the door. Get your tickets now online at WNF.org. The usual ticket outlets are by calling Miss Julie right here, 813-238-8001. The key thing is don't miss it. Right now, here's an example of the kind of thing you might hear Friday. This was recorded at the Talking Animals Festival. This is Magadog with Monkey in the Warehouse, taking us right up to the NPR News, and then Scott Elliott and his great, great show right here on WNF Tampa. See you next Wednesday, 11 a.m., Talking Animals.
From NPR News in Washington.